Okay, audio listener, I will keep this short and sweet. If you're not a member of Mug Club, you're going to miss a story from Pops Crowder today. I'll just say it involves Talladega Speedway, 1986, and Pops Crowder drunkenly stealing the pace car. I've said too much. Happy MLK Day, everybody. We work here at Louder with Crowder. We still work. We also, believe it or not, what's this with my headphones? My headphones are a little loud. We also work on Columbus Day.
Ah, well, yes, we don't take any of
Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah.
And, you know, lot to like about MLK. Prostitutes, crack, and orgies, not amongst them.
No.
We're going Speak to discuss that today. Yes. Well. I haven't introduced you yet. Spoiled the surprise. Joe Lewis, get in your place.
He's even out. He's like, screw this.
He's like, this is a bad start to the week. So it is MLK Junior Day.
Right.
Because often people go, senior?
No.
They're like, is that the day that he nailed his day of the worm diet? It's like, that's a theological thing. No, we're talking about, I have a dream today. That guy,
yeah.
So we'll be talking about that quite a bit. Also, some new updates here on not only COVID, but hey, half of your country wants to incarcerate you if you deny vax mandates.
What?
Terrifying.
Oh.
Terrifying. A little bit of a callback to last week where I said, hey, do you think for a second that if we didn't have people standing guard in this country, checks and balances, that we would be Australia, we would be Canada? Turns out that almost the entire DNC wants that for you. And this is important. This is what we're going to be talking about. The theme here today is bridled power. And if you live in a country of pacifists, in a place like Australia or a place like Canada, guess who wins? The one person who isn't a pacifist. That's the problem. Yeah. If you have people who don't stand up, if you have people who don't say, hey, look, this is going too far and do the right thing, guess what? The person who's willing to do the wrong thing wins. And we're just at that edge right now. And dear God, I hope we can correct it. But before we go on, I want to let you know this is a live show every Monday through Thursday.
Yeah.
10 a.m. Eastern. If we're not here on YouTube and we don't tell you, that means that you can watch it on Rumble. You can watch it on Mug Club. It's going on. We've just been suspended. Which, from what I understand, right, no suspension?
Not so far. We haven't gotten any facts yet from, like, CDC or anybody else like that.
No. Just give don't do that. Minute. Do not talk about the CDC changing their guidelines to quarantine for 5 days.
I would never
do that. We would never, ever discuss it.
No,
so my question to you, before we move on and introduce everybody, what do you know about MLK Jr.? What do you love about him? What do you dislike about him? What do you think you know about him? Because I think there's a lot of, maybe put in your mouth guard. Don't let this tin can I'm about to kick hit you in the teeth. There's a lot of info today, some of which was surprising to me.
Very.
But before we move on and talk about the rest of the news, Gerald A. is here. How are you?
I am well, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. I tested negative for the cron.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You tried to direct from, quarantine, though. So how'd that go?
Well, it was about as effective as Joel Schumacher directing anything.
Well, that's true.
Only I didn't have the rubber nipples. And we have Tim the Toolman here helping on TriCaster because in third chair, we have two people.
Ooh.
We have Quarter Black here who's back, even though I don't know why.
Yes.
It's like the kid who still hangs out by the bike racks.
Yeah, he was hanging out by the door when I came in. I'm like, all right, guess I'll let you in.
It's only been a week. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's a cultural thing. They just like hanging.
Loitering.
They just like,
I did show up late, though. I'm running on black.
He is running on Canadian time. And if you hear that theme song, you know that means that he's here. We also have in third or fourth chair, I believe, where is it?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Pops Crowder.
Yeah, really doing that for Garrett, I think. He can't stop it once
it's. No, it's all over there.
You're ruining the flow. Pops Crowder.
Just take it.
Dave Lando calls you Crawdaddy. That's your nickname.
He says he does.
I like Crawdaddy.
Stuck. It hasn't stuck.
No.
Okay. Okay, I think it's stuck.
This is a weird angle here, looking at you.
It's Crawdaddy season.
Over here.
It is.
Yeah, if you eat 50 of them, you're still hungry.
Were those you mean three references there? Well, we work.
Oh, no, but good. Thanks for ruining my...
That's cool.
Thanks for reducing my reference to a crappy B comedy.
Terrible.
What was that? Was that...
No, we're just saying we work on MLK Day. Sometimes we're like, okay. this is a national holiday. I'm like, well, sure, yeah, you can be fired on a national holiday.
It's a banker's holiday and a government holiday. Come on. Sorry.
Labor Day. What is it? What about the crypto miners? Are they working?
Yeah, they are.
Always.
In Kazakhstan, yes.
Always working.
I went to the bank.
Uh-huh.
And the guy who was helping me with my account was like, yeah, I'm getting out of working for, I won't say the name of the bank. I am mining crypto.
Ah.
I said, well, how do you do? He's like, I don't know. I have a computer that mine for me. I swear to you. I was like, well, what are you doing here? You must have such little confidence in this product. He's like, this bad. This bad. Not last long.
Indian fellow you were speaking with?
This money? Yeah. Not good.
Italian guy?
Yes, from Sicily. Before we move on to talk about anything else, I have not seen this yet, but TikTok is still cancer.
Ah.
And here is... wait, hold on a second. Quarterback Garrett, I want to tell people, you have your show, too.
Yeah.
Yes, I have a YouTube channel.
Okay.
Quarterback Garrett,
okay,
as well. But I'm working with a guy, Gary Beekler, on the Nerdrotic channel.
Nerdrotic.
We're talking about nerd stuff.
Okay, so. Very cool.
Really?
That's what we do.
Yeah, well, count me interested.
The ladies like the nerd.
Hey, they do.
Are we still racing on our YouTube followers to 1,000?
That is correct. No, I'm way past 1,000.
Oh, okay.
I'm at 24.
Thanks,
at this point.
I appreciate
it's,
that. Yeah.
We're racing to 100.
Ah, yeah, so. All right. Okay, hey guys, the thing about this though is that nobody cares. So, yeah. TikTok is cancer, and here is further proof.
This is my cover of Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World.
What are we watching?
You know, her drama teacher is so proud.
Oh.
It's a shame we don't just lock people up anymore.
Wow.
Oh, wait.
Thank you.
Okay, so first off, if I'm ever prosecuting her for serial killing, I just go Exhibit A,
done.
And I don't have a B.
I rest my case, Your Honor.
I'm going to jail! Gosh, for crying out loud. I know everyone complains about the next generation, music or whatever, but I mean, at a certain point, where do you, I mean, you're not scraping the bottom of the barrel, you've scraped your way to China.
It's art.
Mm.
This is
it's
more
like Bjork.
It really is like the 1980s Shaka Zulu stuff, and I'm like, I thought we'd done this already.
Yeah.
Oh, Bjork.
I'm feeling it.
Never understood interpretive dance. I don't know. At least the mime, I know he's in a box, he's climbing a rope, but this, you know, what is she trying to say?
You got to have the Clydesdales to drag.
And there was somebody else involved in this. There was a second victim here.
Yeah.
There was a hand that wasn't her hand.
No, everybody's a victim here.
Yeah. That is true. We are all victims.
So here's something else I wanted to talk about. This happened this weekend. There was a UFC event. And the president of the UFC, by the way, Dana White, here's the thing. The UFC was the only sporting event that continued through COVID. We talked about that, Pops Crowder, that it was a big deal. They had testing. They had their own island. And it was very clear that Dana White, the president, was just going like, this is ridiculous. You just can't stop the world. You can't stop the economy. And, of course, he caught a lot of flack. And the UFC overtook a lot of other mainstream sports when that happened. But here's the thing. Never mind. We'll talk about that. You know what? Let's talk about this first. Then we'll talk about Australia.
Okay.
So,
You can't tease me like
that. No. So Dana White was asked actually about, you know, this recent controversy with Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Where 270 doctors were saying.
Sort of doctors. Say
sort of doctors.
Quotes.
Yeah.
Like there was like PhD people.
Yeah. PhD in philosophy.
Yeah. Doctors.
That kind of doctor.
Yeah. PhD in philosophy. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Someone's choking on a plane. Do we have a doctor? I'll save him. Oh my God. What are you going to do? Read him Kinsey?
What's your relationship with your mother?
Yeah.
Not going to work.
I've read Freud. I believe he wants to have sex with his mother. Yeah, and he's dead. Wow, he was choking. That didn't help him at all. You just attacked his character.
He's just going to open the plane door in flight. Okay.
Damn Greeks. So Dana White was asked about this letter written to Joe Rogan about the doctors trying to silence him.
Yeah.
And Dana White, not only, I want to show you a sequence of clips here, because this reporter who asked him a follow-up question, I know works at Yahoo News. I think his name is, I think the second question you hear is from a guy named Kevin at Yahoo News, Kevin Ioli, something like that. And they try and catch him. And then, of course, when he responds on COVID and on the treatment that he's taken, because he did discuss this with Joe Rogan, ivermectin, monoclonal antibodies, the reporters tuck tail. So this is the issue here. Is they want to take when they say, hey, the science, and they bring you nothing, and you retort with science, they don't want to have a discussion. They don't want to have an argument. That's a perfect example, again, of having bridled strength. You need to have your information at the ready. These people don't want it. What do I mean by these people? The people who want to follow the science, the people who want to follow the doctors and ask, are you a doctor, as though your opinion means nothing. The simple retort is, are you? We just need to be clear about this at this point. Either we can have discussions or not. And if you don't want to, don't give me the bullshit about, oh, we're indivisible. Oh, we're the United States of America. Really? How about heartbeat bills? No? Okay. Well, then we're not indivisible. We're not on the same team anymore. Yeah. You want to kill babies up until and including birth. You want to remove people's ability to make their own medical decisions for themselves and shame someone publicly for it. So let's go to the first answer. And I do want to note, Dana White has Meniere's disease. So
does he?
He has trouble hearing. So if you're like, if you think that he's not super quick, if he's saying what, he says it to all reporters, he can't hear. He has a special earpiece. The guy's as sharp as they come. Here he is responding to the fascist, totalitarian-supporting press trying to catch him on COVID.
Well, how about this? Ever since I came out and said what I did, it's almost impossible now to get monoclonal antibodies. I don't want to get too political and start getting into all this shit, but ivermectin and monoclonal antibodies have been around for a long time. Now all of a sudden you can't dig them up to save your life. The doctors won't give them to you. Even when I did it, here in Vegas, which was however many weeks ago that I had it, like right before Christmas, I think, or something. I made one phone call and was able to get it done. And that's not like some rich famous guy shit. Like anybody could have
yes,
called and
cut that off at the pass. Brilliant.
Yeah, of course you can make a phone call and get it. Bullshit. Everybody could have got it back then.
Yeah, and then even in the comment section underneath this, people are going, yeah, you can if you're a multimillionaire. It's like no. He literally addressed it right there. By the way, you know who else got it? Pops Crowder.
Sure.
Mrs. Crowder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I got it. You got it.
Yep. It was very, very easy to get. Now it's impossible. Now, that being said, it may not work against the Omicron because some of the treatments that were effective may no longer work because of the mutation of the virus. You can blame the unvaxxed. I don't think that's why we have all the mutations. But, you know, I'm not a doctor. So he answers here and then listen to this follow-up where a smart-ass reporter doesn't address what he just presented, which if we all want to find common ground, is entirely reasonable. Is there anything unreasonable about what he just said?
No.
He just said, this is something that was accessible. No one denies monoclonal antibodies were effective in treating. No one, including former Vice President Biden, including Fauci. That's not one of those treatments where people are saying, oh, we don't think it works. He was just talking about how it's no longer available. Anyone here think that there's anything at all out of bounds in what he said?
No, and this is the question that so many people that had COVID and were on you know, looking at going on a ventilator were asking, like, can I please get monoclonal antibodies? Can I please get some kind of treatment other than going down this road that doesn't typically end well for
me? My wife got it, and she hit her pretty hard. She got pneumonia, and the first couple times we went into the ER, nothing. They just sent her home with no treatment.
Tylenol.
No therapy. Not even Tylenol. No suggestion on what to do.
Right.
And it took us, we had to go out on our own and find a doctor that would prescribe a treatment for it. And then it was too late. Eventually, she had to go to the doctor again.
The emergency room.
And then they admitted her. She had pneumonia. And then they treated her with the same treatment.
Said vitamin C, zinc.
Vitamin D, zinc.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They're going, well, same this stuff, the stuff that is, witch doctor medicine. It's like, why are you doing it now? Well, because she might die. So, something is better than nothing. Oh, well, wouldn't that have been better than before she could have almost died? I don't know, man. Don't push your politics on me, pal.
And we should say, too, that monoclonal antibodies, free. Free.
Right. Can we move his mic in there a little bit? I think he's a little bit far.
Yeah, they want to say it's only accessible to the wealthy.
You want to hear that voice.
No, absolutely free. And I think I've sent a dozen people to the site here.
Yeah. So here he is, a follow-up reporter trying to catch Dana White, asking him a smart-ass remark, and then tucks tail and does not, in fact, stand and substantiate his own argument. Here you go.
Are you surprised at the backlash that people don't even want to allow you to discuss options and pretreatment?
It's disgusting. We're not talking about experimental drugs or things that this stuff's been around. And the ivermectin,
you're a doctor?
The guy won the Nobel Peace
Watch
Prize.
Watch this, jeez.
Huh?
You're a doctor?
Watch this.
No, but there's plenty of doctors
there you go.
That do.
Watch it.
Here he comes. No, but I took them and they both work for me. So why shouldn't I be able to take them again? Or other people?
I won't answer.
No, come
crickets.
On, dive in.
We do have a throw the questions out.
Right? You want to know what's scary? I bet I could get some f***ing pain pills quicker than I could get monoclonal antibodies. No, not maybe. That's a fact.
Maybe.
That's a fact. They f***ing hand out pain pills like they're Tic Tacs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's exactly how you handle it. He just does not care.
Are you a doctor? Are you? I'm not going to answer that. Then shut up.
No, no, no. Come on. Dive in. Come you on. Asked the question.
And he says maybe on the pain pill thing.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
His industry is pain. He would know.
He would know.
Wait a minute. Wait. Athletes get pain pills and injections so that they can go out and perform even though they have injuries that would make the rest of us crawl back into bed in the morning?
Yeah, but don't deny the science and take monoclonal antibodies. Take another Percocet.
Sniffles plus.
Conspiracy. Don't take CBD or don't use kratom. That could be addictive. Oh, take a Vicodin.
Yeah. That's better for you. Yeah.
Don't take a leaf.
Opioids.
Just
go for that.
Doctor shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is just, go send the guy some support because he's been catching flack from those on the left of the cultists. I don't think that anyone can argue at that point that you are not a cultist. If you think that back and forth went any way other than complete verbal domination of someone who's trying to be a smartass. But here's the thing. The left, they don't. This is the thing with this show. All references are available at lateralcredit.com, right? We talk about this all the time. We try to serve to not exist in an echo chamber because we will be attacked. Yeah. We're attacked constantly. The left usually just says, are you a doctor? Checkmate. No, that's not exactly how it works. You're going to have to come with a little bit more than that. I won't answer that. Why? Because you're a stranger. Oh, I think it's because you're a...
Double standards.
It's unbelievable.
Double standards.
Hey, really quickly, can we bring up CNN? I just want to highlight this this UK man thing that they're talking about here with the synagogue thing. Yeah, do me a favor, too. Can we bring up the name of the person? Because that name has been released on the person who...
The name of the synagogue hostage.
Synagogue, yeah. And took people hostage.
White supremacist.
Yeah. Right, exactly. No. UK man. Mm-hmm. He's a Brit. Mm-hmm. They said
very
British
traditional
man
British man.
They wanted, fewer things. Old like English a 44-year-old UK man. We just want to highlight something here in a few minutes. So yeah. I don't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay. You're not interrupting. You can feel free to come in at any point. So they haven't mentioned the name here on CNN.
No, not
they
yet.
They say a Texas synagogue was a 44-year-old UK man. All right.
What does that make you think of?
What is? Yeah, first thing.
UK man. What comes to mind first?
Mr. Bean went in there.
Yes.
To free up a known
Mr.
terrorist.
Mr. Bean went into a synagogue and went...
Yeah.
Jews
on the Sabbath, right? Yeah, couldn't possibly be anything else. When they're on the Sabbath to a synagogue, not a random place that happened to have four Jewish people walking around, including a rabbi. A synagogue on a Sabbath, but he's a UK man.
I've been to a synagogue on the Sabbath once. I don't know if you guys know this, but it's positively crawling with Jews.
Lots of them.
You can't move. You can't throw a penny without hitting a Jewish person.
Huh. You mean... They go to church on the Sabbath, huh?
Yeah.
Synagogue. I like it.
Synagogue.
Well, that's church.
We'll bring up that name in a couple...
They put it on their website that no one reads.
Oh, yeah.
Malik.
Well, apparently you just pulled up something that no one can read.
It's completely dark screen, sorry.
You just pulled up his Black Lives Matter Instagram post.
Exactly.
Hey, it's MLK Day.
Is it February already?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I've heard of Letterbox. Is that only box? What is that you're bringing up? We'll grab it in a second.
Yeah, we'll get
it. So here's something else, though, as far as terrifying. I talked about this not only last year, but I talked about it last week. Mm-hmm. Regarding the United States being the last bastion of freedom, when people say, we're all Americans, and, the right has gone too far. Do you want to know how far the left would go? When people say the right has gone too far right, compare Ronald Reagan compare him to anyone today, actually. The right has become more moderate in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
The right has become more moderate and the left has become more extreme. If you want to know what the mainstream left would have in the United States as it relates to COVID, as it relates to your personal liberties, it's very easy. Just look at what mainstream left, mainstream liberals, what they've achieved in other countries, places like Australia, places like Canada, places like the UK. That's what they would have here. Now, new poll came out that was shocking. We had to double, triple, quadruple check it. It's available. Link in the description, loudwithcrowder.com. But first, here is me talking about this. Last week. Keep in mind, the only fail-safe that you have here in the United States is that there is still some semblance of a conservative wing. When people say, both sides. No. One side wants you to be forced into lockdown. One side wants the kind of concentration camps that they have, quarantine camps in Australia. Now, I don't want to do the Alex Jones, be like, I told you about this. I told you about this 4 years ago. They had humanoid chimerates, okay? They are duct taping swine scalps, two rats, and then forcing them to mate with humans. Gay frogs!
All correct, by the way.
I said they were turning the frogs. Hey, look, today, brings up a picture of just a frog in the Liza Minnelli fan club. I told you!
Come on.
Colloidal silver.
The signs were there.
Gotta have them back.
Yes, we absolutely do.
Via helicopter.
Yeah, love Alex.
Nothing here's bad thing. Happens to us whenever we do that.
I was not only correct, I just didn't know how quickly and how severely it would escalate. New Rasmussen survey just came out. So it doesn't surprise you, 78% of Democrats support a vaccine mandate. Yeah. Okay. Are these overlays not working? It's just a black box, guys.
I think we had a black box issue here.
Yeah, we have a black box issue.
I told you, it's MLK Day.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
Well, let me know when you guys have that fixed. Yeah. I'll read this here from the map. I have the overlays in front of me. I can just bring it up.
And all references on the website. Well. So, yeah.
59%, though, of Democrats favor unvaxxed people being confined to their homes at all times.
There we go.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. Nice job.
Hey.
45%, this surprised me, 45% of Democrats favor internment at special facilities for those who refuse the vax. That's basically half. Half of all Democrats, and by the way, this includes Democrat voters who think that former Vice President Biden has gone too far. This includes half of Democrat voters who think that we're at the point where we should be past the curve. This includes half of Democrat voters who think that we've gone too far. Keep in mind, this is not the Democratic Party representatives. You know that this is more moderate than the party of Nancy Pelosi and AOC. Yeah. This is the voting base. Half of them believe that you should be interned. You should be put in an internment camp if you don't take the vats. The vats. They also want vat tax. Well, that's another segment.
This is the whole reason thing. That when we started talking about the internment camps in Australia, everybody was like, oh, come on, you're overblowing it. This could never come to the United States.
Voluntary. Why are you using that word?
Voluntary quarantine summer camps. It's the summer of love in Portland. It could be summer camps.
Voluntary quarantine services. Yeah, but where, by the way, if you escape, there's a manhunt.
Well, yeah, but it's also not voluntary. That's also the thing.
Yeah. What they do is they show up, they go, hey, listen, we had a positive test for COVID, and what we have here is you can drive yourself to the internment camp voluntarily, or the police car can drive you, and you'll have to pay $5,400. Choice is yours. It's voluntary. And you're like, well, crap, do I have to watch the net? That's part of the deal.
I had voluntary summer workouts at Notre Dame. Yeah, they'll just cancel your scholarship if you don't show up, but it's voluntary.
Last time I ate bad shrimp, I had voluntary diarrhea.
These places have no stopgap. There is no.
No.
There isn't. Yeah, and that's what we're looking at.
So nothing in their constitution
if not
to stop
for us.
Them.
No.
45% of Democrats favor internment special facilities. In a word, that means that Democrats want some. They want this.
So this, I'm going to give you a warning, yeah? It's an official warning. That you have to stand above and obey the rules while you get, yes?
Why are these guys in a cabin that's right near the fence? It makes no sense, does it?
Yeah, but you can't leave your balcony to go to the fence to talk to somebody else. That's just obvious, yeah?
So if I was out
no, it's not. It's fence, not obvious. It's the opposite.
There has to be lines everywhere drawn, yes?
No.
And
stop saying
the
yeah.
Lines is you cannot leave your balcony and you cannot go to someone else. Where it makes no sense or it doesn't seem right to you, that is the line, and that's what the law is there, and that's how it goes, yeah? While you're here, can we just do that? Otherwise, the next time it's a $5,000 fine, and we don't want to do that.
It's a $5,000 fine if what?
If you breach again.
If I walk out onto that path.
Without your mask on, for no reason, other than the rule.
If I cross that yellow line.
The rule, saying that you've broken the rule.
That I've broken the rule, I will be issued with a $5,000 fine.
That's correct.
So let me just be really clear here when we use the term voluntary. This is a voluntary quarantine camp where you are held against your will. You are forced to stay behind the yellow line of your porch against your will unless you're wearing a mask and exclusively going to do laundry or you're fined $5,000. That's what voluntary looks like. I just want to make sure that it's not. Comment below. Have I misunderstood this entire time the concept of voluntary?
I think so. Under government compulsion,
yeah.
It's voluntary.
Yeah. Changing the meaning of words, you know.
You can't go past the balcony. It's obvious, yeah?
Right. But that
what?
Was... That
it's
was,
obvious what? You can't go home where you expect to be able to go for a walk? Obviously, you can't do that, yeah? you expect you're going to, you know, just feed yourself?
No personal freedom.
What are you, nuts?
No.
You out of your mind?
And look, this isn't, I thought this was clickbait. When I saw some of the stats on this come out, I was like, oh my gosh, hey guys, take a look at this. Make sure you research it and confirm this stuff. Cause I'm like, there's no way that this is true life. And it is 47%. This one didn't make it in there, but I found it 47% favor a government tracking program for the unvaccinated. They want the government to know where you are at all times.
You say that like it's a problem.
It is a problem.
You say that like it's a bad thing. Look, I can do that trick too.
We're
that
all
kind of work.
Die.
Like, you can make anything sound bad if you say it like that. Like I could say gang rape. No, I say it like that. It sounds bad. But if I say gang rape,
sounds a little fun.
Gang rape, yeah.
Kind of sounds like a party.
Sounds like a good time.
Sounds like a party, like an orgy that MLK would be it.
Well, you know, I thought Australians were hardy folk. I really did. But you know, anybody that acquiesced to the crown, you look at Canada, these people. They're different. They have aligned differently, and this is the perfect test.
They gave up their guns.
That's their whole society is based on that.
Canada is the perfect control test versus what we're doing here.
Yeah. Just, well, here's another stat.
Been willing to give up any right.
48% of Democrats, either the Democrat voters, again, so this is going to be far more moderate than the people in charge, the people who want to do away with the filibuster, the people who want to make it illegal for states to require ID to vote. This is the voting base. So this is as moderate as you are going to get. 48% of Democrats favor fining or imprisoning people who publicly question vaccine efficacy.
Wow.
Half of the Democrat voting base believe in imprisoning you if you question the efficacy of the vaccine, which, by the way, Fauci just said everyone's going to get Omicron.
The freaking Pfizer CEO came out and said, it doesn't provide a whole lot of protection unless you get like the third or fourth booster or whatever it was.
But they love their Trump vaccine. They love the Trump vaccine.
Oh. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, it gets worse than that. So,
how many boosters do you need?
I think it's 19. Sort of like when people say, the Earth is warm, 0.7 degrees. I go, well, what temperature should the Earth be?
Lower?
I'm not going to answer that question.
It should be
I'm not
less.
A scientist.
Are you a doctor, Stephen?
It should be it should be less than 0.7 increase. Should be less than that.
So you're not a doctor. Okay,
how
fine.
Dare you?
Yeah.
Okay, so they believe in imprisoning people for publicly questioning that. I know you're saying, well, this is just a poll. Okay, hold on a second. Where else have we seen people be imprisoned for questioning? People be imprisoned for speech? People be imprisoned simply for not complying? Well, we have a couple for you. Let's go on back to the outback.
But yesterday, things really stepped up a notch. When officers arrived, it became fairly physical fairly quickly, and the shop owner, a 53-year-old man from Wishart, was arrested as people watched on and filmed on their mobile phones. He now faces several charges, including obstruct police and also failure to comply with a health directive. It's expected he'll face court in March.
Isn't it funny how that's obstructing police, but George Floyd was compliant?
Very compliant.
Yeah.
We just look at it.
Very compliant.
Interesting.
Steve.
It was believed that he ingested a speed bull before being escorted peacefully, and the police clubbed him like a baby seal, like the Inuit do. But, you know, then he tried to get off his balcony with a yellow line. What are we? We can't have a society. We'll just you pull up the thread. And then in Canada, my horrible homeland, I'm ashamed. I used to have a dual citizenship. I don't think that I've renewed it. I don't plan on ever going back at this point. I wish I could be prouder of Canada than I am.
It's for life, Stephen.
I am ashamed. Well, I don't care. I reject.
I rip it up.
I reject.
I defect. I defect my Canadian citizenship.
Pour out the maple syrup.
And any Canadian who is not disgusted with what's going on in your country right now, shame on you. Absolutely. And I don't use that term lightly. You should be I shouldn't say just ashamed. You should be embarrassed. The men of Canada right now,
yes.
You honestly should feel embarrassed. This is embarrassing for you because in Canada, they do imprison. Here's that pastor who was arrested. This is like the third time he's been arrested. Here you go.
This is sick. You get orders from corrupted politicians, corrupted leaders, and this is what you do.
What's going through their head?
Just
like, what's going
orders.
Through this police officer's head? Is this what they signed up for? Yeah, like you hear that all the time in these videos. Is this what you signed up for? When have you signed up to protect and serve?
To arrest pastors?
What are you thinking of?
Yeah. Like, by the way,
arresting
just
pastors,
orders?
Arresting business owners, arresting just citizens.
Yeah. People for walking their dog past curfew.
It's crazy.
Just following orders has never been accepted.
Never.
When you're doing stuff like this.
As a matter of fact, I think it's always the last line of the bad guy, of the coward bad guy in the film, who's the second in command to the real bad guy.
Right,
it almost all his last line before it gets blown away is usually, "I was just doing my job.
I'm doing mine."
Yeah. And to Gerald's point earlier about like some 40% of Democrats being in favor of a tracking system in Canada, also from Canada, this is from Mission Control. The search is on in Canada for an anti-vaccination dad who is accused of hiding his 7-year-old daughter to keep her from being vaccinated against COVID-19.
Gosh.
The search is
what?
On.
Search is up.
What in the hell are
check
we
the
doing?
Floorboards.
Yes.
That's
now listen, I'll bet you
people hide their
I would bet my bottom I'd bet my bottom euro. Well, I don't know what they use in Australia. I'll bet my bottom
money.
Dollar, my bottom knife that you're gonna find that kid underneath a yellow line on the balcony.
It's obvious.
In the attic. Sorry.
Stupid cowards from a stupid penal colony.
That's where we are now.
Yeah.
You have
yeah.
to hide your kid in the attic so that they don't get forcibly vaccinated.
Yeah.
Well, and here in the States, we have mothers putting their children in the trunk of their yeah. car because they want to quarantine them.
Yeah.
You got to hand it to that pastor, though. You know, you have kids. You know, that little ninja move where they go limp.
Yes.
Yeah. And make them carry you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You cannot gather up the goo.
All right, Gary, that's yes. really, yeah, he's going.
It's like when you try and, you know, that thing that you get at like Dollar Tree, the toy that keeps slipping out of your
yeah.
hands.
Yeah.
That's
oh,
like
yeah.
an uncircumcised penis.
Why do you have to bring
oh,
that
wait,
up?
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I thought we were looking at communist China arresting pastors. That was Canada.
Yes.
Just to be yeah. clear.
Yes.
Okay, I thought this was like a repressive regime known for violating human rights.
Oh, I get it. You're repeating yourself.
Ah.
So 29%, while we're talking about kids, favor removing custody of Democrat voters now. 29%. So let's round it to 30.
30?
If I may.
Fair.
Round it to 30.
Hey,
favor
hey,
removing custody of children from parents who are unvaccinated. Favor removing custody just because the children are unvaccinated. And I know, you know, we say, okay, that's happened. We just showed some clips from things that have happened elsewhere. But something like this, this is a bridge too far. That would never happen in the United States, right?
I miss my son more than anything. It's been very difficult. I haven't seen him since August 10th.
August 10th, that's the day Rebecca Furlitt appeared in court via Zoom along with her ex-husband for a child support hearing involving their 11-year-old son. Now, the two share custody or had shared custody in parenting time, 50-50. She says out of the blue, Cook County Judge James Shapiro asked her whether she'd been vaccinated. She told him no, she had not, because she's had bad reactions to vaccines in the past. Judge Shapiro then ordered that she be stripped of all parenting time with her son until she gets vaccinated.
Can I just order Judge Shapiro to be stripped?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I mean, think about how that's going to go. 29% think that they could just show up at your door and knock. Do you think parents are willingly giving up their kids? Do you think parents are really going to let you show up with guns drawn and yeah. take their children?
I think a lot of parents will, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's the look, this is something that I just discussed the other day. Okay. And I think this is important. Because the left tries to say, oh, the right is calling for civil war, and that's not at all what's happening here. I think it's important for people to understand people often operate based on emotion, or they can be rash, and you need to make sure that you don't do that, right? You need to make sure that you're disciplined. But then a lot of people on the flip side operate out of fear, out of cowardice. How do you know when you're doing that? This is sort of a litmus test that I use. If something is happening that's very emotionally disturbing, something that could obviously get you, let's say, very heated, and you set a deadline or a timeline. You say, look, I'm going to wait and don't do anything rash. I'm going to wait 2 days before I respond, or I'm going to wait 2 days before I make my decision. And if you find yourself not honoring your self-imposed timeline, that means you're acting out of emotion. That means you need to get that in check. That means you're not being disciplined. On the flip side, if you set a line in the sand and you say, all right, you know what? No one can come to my house and take my children. And then you find yourself not honoring your own self-imposed line in the sand, you're a coward. If then that line gets breached and you go, well, I guess they're just taking the kid to the camp for 2 days. That's not that bad. The first example, you're acting out of emotion. That's a bad thing. But the second example is just as evil. You're acting out of cowardice and fear. You need to put those boundaries up. You need to make sure you're not acting out of emotion. You're not just acting because you're mad or you're sad or you're feeling a certain way in that moment. You need to make sure you're not doing that. But you need to make sure that there is a line, and don't allow that line to be crossed. Figure out what it is, or you're acting out of cowardice.
Yeah. Historically, it never goes well when they come and take your guns, when they come and take your speech, when they come and take you to a place because you're othered for whatever reason, vaccinated, Jewish. I'll say it. Sorry. If you want to talk about Nazi Germany in the 1930s, it was not far off from what we see today.
No, it was they even said they carried
early
viruses. 30s,
right?
Yeah, they absolutely did. It was othering people, but it's happened
that
in other countries, right? It's happened in Cambodia. Almost a million people died in the killing fields there. Do you want to just keep trying this? It happened in Russia in the revolution. Do you want to just keep doing this and see if it maybe goes better this time?
Right.
Because we would all look back at Nazi Germany or look back at Pol Pot's regime in Cambodia and say, I wish the neighbors had stood up for their friends, but they didn't.
Right.
When the people came to take them and they knew it was wrong, no one pushed back. And
I think you're always going to find people that think that they're on the correct side. They think, I'm not going to be affected by these things. Whenever they get their children taken away, it's never going to be my children.
Right.
Right.
Well, but it always is. It'll eventually get to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the issue, too, of bridled power. You need to find yourself in a position of power and very rarely exerting it. Because guess what? If you're not, they come and take your kids and there's nothing you can do. If you're weak, you don't have an ace in a hole to play. Do you understand that? This is something that people need to understand. You need to be powerful. You need to be capable of acts that might scare people, that might scare yourself. You need to be able to, you need to fear what you're capable of and not act on it until that time comes. And I will tell you, for me, my line in the sand, kids, want to take my kids away? Want to make it so I can't see my kids? Them's fighting words. Hopefully I'm not out of line. Now, let's move on from this. MLK Junior Day.
Yeah, Junior.
I always need to clarify. Junior.
Yes.
Because some people are like, middle child?
Could be the second. No.
It could be the second.
There was four, I think. Yeah. I just don't, yeah.
Could be like Junior. George Foreman's.
They're all named George.
That's true.
Yeah. Even the girls.
Regina. That's not a great, I'm not going
to
say.
George Foreman. He's unbelievable. I would love to great have man. Him on the show.
Yeah,
great
yeah, yeah.
man.
Guy's an American treasure.
When people say that people can't change, I say George Foreman.
I love his grill.
George Foreman. No, well, the grill is fine.
Yeah.
But then they weren't just planning on George Foreman, by the way.
That's
the
extra. That's on top. That's plus.
That's plus.
Yeah, that's icing on the cake. You're right.
The reason I love this grill is the fat goes off the meat and it goes down and is healthy. It's like, you mean like all grills? Pretty much, but yeah, mine uses a battery.
Well, it's
but you lose inside. All of the grease and the tasty bits.
And you can always buy my grill at Meineke.
Look, I bought it, all right? I was buying it.
This George Foreman was he was an angry, angry man.
Yeah.
Retired, became a minister, had a near-death experience. Anyone out there right now, okay, so we have most of you watching, really a lot of you young, under the age of 25. So your impression of George Foreman, do you see him as an angry black man with a scowl, or do you see him as a happy grill salesman? One of the happiest people you've probably ever seen as an athlete celebrity. That's how he's known. That's the exact opposite of what he was as a person, how he was presented as an athlete until he had his actual come to Jesus moment. When they say people can't change, I say George Foreman. So unfortunately, MLK did change as well.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Let me be really clear about this. I like a lot of what MLK Jr. had to say. I certainly think that his speech has been, pardon my language, shit on by today's left, where he talked about the content of character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These were values that we would all align ourselves with.
Yeah.
However, MLK did become far more radical as life went on, and there's a lot that you don't know about MLK Jr., and I want to be clear, there are values, of course, that he espoused that we agree with, but the man was flawed like a lot of men. But the issue here is, if it's going to be a national holiday while you're tearing down statues of people who fought against slavery, like Abraham Lincoln, or even people who freed slaves upon their death, where we're talking about George Washington or Jefferson, then you can't have a statue and you can't have an MLK Jr. Day, because what I'm about to tell you is a lot worse.
I didn't know a lot of this.
Yeah. And everything.
Well, the wife of MLK actually gave his letters and all of his writings to somebody at Stanford, and he specifically formed MLK in a way that would be palatable. So he cut out all of the stuff that's
all the negative, rough edges.
Right. All the rough edges. So that's why we have and he advocated for the MLK Day.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, here's the thing. Everything we're about to share with you comes directly from congressional records, archived newspapers, MLK's own speeches, and I know the FBI is not an organization that I trust. Okay, I want to be very clear. However, none of the evidence that we'll be providing for you here has actually been refuted by anyone in the MLK camps.
Yeah, they just don't like how they obtained it.
Right. It was surveillance transcripts that were reported by a guy named David Garrow. But he also, this is the biographer. He obtained these transcripts from the FBI. He was the official biographer on MLK. He won the 97 Pulitzer Prize. So this is a man 87. Who was very pro. Mm. Did I say?
You said 90, 87.
87.
Yeah.
And the FBI surveillance audio will be released in 2027. I don't know why they picked that year. I have no idea.
A specific year?
Later, you know.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, crap, it's getting closer.
So here's something that you probably know, that MLK, for example, let's start with this, supported peaceful protest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is true. Sometimes. He also had some pretty, I guess you could say, unsavory opinions about riots that I do think need to be considered, because a lot of people don't know this part.
And continue to say to my brothers and sisters that this is not the way. And continue to affirm that there is another way. But at the same time, it is as necessary for me to be as vigorous in condemning the conditions which cause persons to feel that they must engage in riotous activities, as it is for me to condemn riots.
I agree with everything thus far.
Mm-hmm. I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. What is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these recurrences of violence and riots over and over again.
See, and that's the problem, is the open-endedness to it, because, yeah. Well, what is justice? Well, right now people are saying, oh, injustice is there are too many Asians at Stanford.
Yeah.
So let's burn down a Walgreens.
Yeah. Oh, be more specific than
you
that.
Need to be a little more specific, and let me be clear, too, at another 1967 speech, and we'll get to the crack whores, and we'll get to the orgies, we'll get to all of that, which a lot of you don't know about MLK. Five things you don't know about MLK. Bet you didn't expect to hear MLK and crack whores.
What?
Today. I have a dream of non-crack whores at a Motel 6.
Nope. No.
I don't think crack exists.
You wouldn't go Motel 6.
I'm probably not. Motel 8. Just whores in general, then. So a 67 speech, King said, urban riots are a special form of violence. They are not insurrections.
Ah.
Disagree.
Good to know.
Said the rioters are not seeking to seize territory to attain control of institutions, which today they are. That's their stated goal, Black Lives Matter. They are mainly intended to shock the white community. The looting enables the most enraged and deprived, I'm using his word here, Negro to take hold of consumer goods with the ease the white man does by using his purse. This goes on a lot. If you look at some of his statements regarding riots and regarding violent protest, it's worse than I thought. I thought he kind of both sides it. He actually more often encouraged violent protesting than he discouraged it, and that is probably disappointing to a lot of people.
Yeah, he's making excuses for people basically losing their minds. Look, I get it. There was so much injustice. I have no idea how I would feel, but I probably wouldn't then go and burn down or rob a local store owned by other black people in my community.
Right.
And I would never justify it and say, well, it is just as easy as a white man using his purse. Well, first of all, men and purses, this was beginning of the
problem. I'm talking about Europe, Gerald A.
It's not a European man bag, Stephen. All right.
Well, it seems that he doesn't clarify, or he's flip-flops, because there is another interview where he specifically says that riots are against the black community, because then the same thing that we've said before, in 2020, it destroys their own community, and it does the opposite of what you want it to do. And he says, you can kill a murderer, but you can't kill murder.
Well, Pops Sprouters, you're those the Detroit riots, which you were alive for, that really hurt the white man, right, in his purse.
We didn't feel it at all.
Not at all. But he needs to, whenever he says stuff like that, he should have combined it with what he said later in a different interview.
Yeah.
Is it hurts the black community to do this, and then say they do this because they're being
oppressed. You know what must be condemned just as vigorously is the harming of your own community. That's what needs to be condemned just as vigorously. Think of the Detroit riots.
Yeah.
And then they blamed what? White flight, Detroit riots. Like, well, first off, that's not what happened. Second, you burned down your own communities in Detroit. Yeah. Black people were harmed, and you know who got the worst end of that stick was black police officers. They had to go home in unmarked cars because they were being picked off by snipers on rooftops.
Right.
There is, you cannot find examples of riots in the from the 1970s onward that were targeted specifically, let's say, against just white people, which would be racist, but at least would just make maybe sense. No, it ends up hurting people in their own community, and that needs to be condemned just as vigorously. Oh, well, we don't find that writing. Maybe it's because you were too busy with number two when we're talking about things that you may not have known about MLK. Worked with communists.
Yeah.
Very closely. And I don't mean that in the sort of sense where people are like, pinko commie. I mean, one of his top advisors was a guy named Stanley Levison. Okay? And he was a member of the Communist Party until 1956, and he secretly gave MLK Jr. $10,000 just 1 year after meeting him.
That's and, a lot of thousands.
Yeah, adjusted to today's dollars, that'd be about $87,000.
Wow, that's a big donation.
That's a lot more thousands than I thought.
Seems like an odd number, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you $87,000.
Can't you round this shit to 90? I have a dream.
I have a dream to have a big purse.
Yes. All you
just
white,
like the one, man.
White devils with your Guccis and your Michael Kors.
Chalk demons everywhere I go.
And your Louis Vuittons. I have a dream. So FBI counteragent Carl Prussian, and again, this is from the biography, just to be clear. So I know that the FBI isn't always a reliable source, but tap, wiretap, which I think is a horrible thing.
Yeah.
However, we also have to acknowledge the facts and reality as it relates to MLK's life. You see a progression of him becoming more and more radical. Some people argue it's because of drug use. Some people argue it's just fame is corrosive to the human soul. But he wasn't the guy who a lot of people praise. Sort of like I've talked about this with Muhammad Ali. It's the flip side, where people with Muhammad Ali don't realize that Muhammad Ali, who was a draft dodger, who was a known racist, who was against intermarrying, against race mixing, later on in his life, actually moved out to the suburbs and not only supported Ronald Reagan, campaigned for white Mormon Orrin Hatch.
Mm. Oh, wow.
But no one talks about that with Muhammad Ali. People change. If you change the wrong way, you'll notice there's a span of Muhammad Ali's life where he really wasn't a celebrity. He wasn't given the same kind of shine. And then, of course, when he died, we go back to when he was young, when he would say he was young and naive and ignorant. How about the time where, how about once he grew up and apologized for the race baiting and calling Joe Frazier a house Negro and an Uncle Tom? And he said, I shouldn't have done that, and called Sonny Liston a big, ugly gorilla. This is what Muhammad Ali would do with people. He said, I was wrong, and I moved out to the suburbs because I didn't want to be in those communities anymore because I have children.
Yeah.
Malcolm X, same thing. Later in his life, he rethought his violence attack rhetoric. He's like, I don't think that was the right way to go. And being connected with the Muslim church.
Yeah.
Who killed him?
The Muslim Brotherhood, right? But it
doesn't, not good.
It doesn't give you what you want, right? So, Darren, how many white people looked at the Detroit riots and were like, you know what? They're probably right. Yeah, I totally understand it. How many people from the other side were brought to their cause and like given a chance to see what was going on?
Well, they had to see it through binoculars.
Well, that's true. What about the riots in Los Angeles? Not the first time, but the second time that they
nearly destroyed. I believe they're burning down Indian Village. There's a bunch of screaming gay men. I don't know.
It doesn't bring people to your cause.
No, of course not.
People hate your cause because you're tearing down the city.
Well, MLK became more so it's the flip side. He became more radical, and so he's venerated. Whereas when Muhammad Ali became more reasonable, they just sort of ignored him for a while. So FBI counteragent Carl Prussian wrote in a sworn affidavit to Congress, I further swear and attest that Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was always set forth as the individual to whom communists should look and rally around in the communist struggle on the many racial issues. I hereby also state that Martin Luther King Jr. has either been a member of or wittingly has accepted support from over 60 communist fronts, individuals and or organizations which give aid to or espouse communist causes. Number three, things that might surprise you about MLK. Not only witnessed a rape, didn't do anything about it.
Wow.
1964, MLK watched as his friend, a Baptist minister, Logan, is it Curse or Kiersey? I don't know how to pronounce it. Raped a woman at the Willard Hotel in D.C. A lot of you know this, a lot of people don't. Notes from David Garrow, again, this is the biographer, and the FBI surveillance docs show, which will be released in 2027.
Yep.
The group met in his Curse's hotel room and discussed which women among the parishioners would be suitable for natural or unnatural sex acts. When one of the women protested that she did not approve of this, the Baptist minister immediately and forcibly raped her. Quoted directly from the FBI notes, surveillance notes, King looked on, laughed, and offered advice.
That's unbelievable. And by the way, just to be clear, the audio tapes will be released in 2027. These notes right now, and this is what the author said, because he's taken all kinds of flack for it. Nobody is challenging the legitimacy of the claims. They're just saying they bugged it. It was the biggest FBI abuse of power they've ever seen because they bugged him and he didn't know. And they bugged everything. And then they started releasing things to try to get this factual information that they had into the right hand so they could smear King. That was it. Not that it was lies.
Right.
You can go to the National Archives right now. Anybody with an internet connection can go and look this up. It is public
information. Well, we have the links available.
Yep, too. And you have to deal with it.
LideWithCutter.com, all references available. I mean, offering advice on a rape is almost shocking.
I never knew that.
Yeah, and he had daughters too. That's a horrible, horrible
that's
thing.
That's a terrible thing.
It's funny how they're giving it 40 years from the date of the article, 87, right? They figure he can shine for 40, and then we're going to bring facts out.
Yeah.
It's all going to be available in 2027.
Well, if we're tearing down statues, there's a big MLK thing that we should probably go take a look at in Washington.
I don't, yeah. Look, yeah. I don't know if it's as bad as Abe Lincoln, who fought against slavery. You got to tear that down. Well, but the man who was like, get up, turn her around, see?
Well, it's not like Roosevelt, where he had the, like, in positions of power, a Native American and a black person with him.
This guy had him in, had her in positions of rape.
Well, that's not power.
Well, it's, some say it's a crime of power.
That's a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not so much a crime of power, so much a crime that I want to have sex and she didn't.
How do you make a statue of that?
Well, it requires a lot of iron, a lot of smelting.
If he were to come alive today.
Skilled artisans.
If he were to come alive today to his dream, which is what people focus on. He would say, "We're here. This is it. It's exactly what I imagined."
Well, no, we
why
were
are
here,
you guys,
and then we passed it.
Then
no,
we went back.
He would say, "Yeah, exactly." In the '90s, yeah. We were here. Yeah. We got dream, here in the '90s.
My dream was never to play the victim card in perpetuity, and that's what we have today.
Well, we also have the next one. So, if he were alive today, I mean, he participated in massive orgies, which hey. He would have loved TikTok.
Oh. Man knows how to party.
Touché.
Man knows how to party.
Just would have loved the talk. Jeez. The following night, this is after, I believe, the rape in which he offered play-by-play color commentary. MLK and his friend participated in a sex orgy with about 12 people, approximately 12 people. How do you have an approximate number? Yeah. If I'm at an orgy,
it's hard to count. There's so
I would have an exact count.
It's like the grid system when you're doing crowd estimation. You just
you just 5 feet by 5 feet that's and then right. Just kind of guess.
What do I do with twins? Count them as 1.5. Twins, if they're Siamese, it's 1. If they're separated, we will count them as 1.5 people.
It's pretty musty in here.
Yeah.
The smell must have been bad. Right.
When one woman shied away from engaging in an unnatural sex act, King and others discussed how to initiate her, and he told her the act would, quote, help her soul. Well, that's a clever. Wow.
I don't think that's true.
He also, it did happen, but it didn't help her soul.
The advice, I don't think, is true. I mean,
that might be incorrect.
I have something that will soothe your soul. Is that the word of God? Not exactly. Better have a drink first. MLK also participated in another orgy in Las Vegas with a friend, a prostitute, and the gospel singer Clara Ward.
It's Las Vegas. Why do we know about this? It's supposed to stay there.
Well, because she sang about it. The gospel was like, oh, happy day. I had
what
sex with MLK. He's like, shut up, bitch, shut up.
Garrett, you're right. The biggest point in
what
all
is
of this
going on?
Is that things don't actually stay in Vegas. Yeah.
The next day he's given a sermon. And of course, as we all know as Christians, we are to keep our mouths silent.
Shut.
As it relates to secrets or events that have happened in Vegas, we have solemnly sworn that it will stay in Vegas. Right, Clara? Right? Bitch, that's right. My soul doesn't feel so. I didn't promise.
No
money back. Now, King and Ward watched King's friend have intercourse with LaRue, Gail LaRue. LaRue told the FBI investigator, that was the worst orgy I've ever gone through. There's a sliding orgy scale.
Question here.
Was that a one-star orgy rating? What is this, Uber? Yeah.
What's the Yelp review here? Yeah.
I would never go back for another orgy there.
Would not recommend.
To experience, sure.
That's the last time I go to that orgy.
Yeah. There were whips and stuff. I'm not into it.
It's just too much. It was just too orgy-ish.
There wasn't even good food.
And here's the... That's the strip club.
The buffet
they have a
was
fantastic
terrible.
Buffet and a wonderful sneeze shield.
Oh, gosh.
I tested it. Also, I don't know if you know this. Surprise. MLK Jr. was a black man.
Really?
Yes, he was black. This is another little bit of a swerve. Just in case... because I know the videos are black and white.
Thought he was gray.
Yeah, well, black and white. So that's why I know it's tough. Great. You know what's actually fascinating? If you go back and watch young Joe Louis, Joe Louis is here, not you. Young Joe Louis, the fighter, he looks like a white guy.
Oh.
In some of them, the way they color correct it, because he'd be fighting like Jersey Joe Walcott or something, and a black guy looks darker, and you just look at him, and he had the hair kind of parted to the side.
Yeah.
You're like, where's Joe Louis? Behind that white man? Are there two Joe Louises? Yeah. This is not brought to you in Technicolor, but he was black. And despite all these little known facts about MLK, I want to be very clear. This is about consistency. This is about if you're going to tear down statues because of something that you deem offensive because people lived an imperfect life, then you would have to apply it to someone who took part in rapes, to someone who was taking parts in orgies, to someone who was misleading about working with communists, right? This is something that we have to be consistent about. Now, I don't think that we can't actually continue to espouse the words that MLK espoused in his most famous speech, where he was talking about the content of character. I think that there are values there that are worthwhile, that are worth pursuing. And as a matter of fact, I think today the Black Lives Matter community and the woke left community who enable them would be well served to heed the words of his speeches as opposed to his imperfect life. But even when we're talking about his speeches, if to the Pops Crowder's points, if MLK Jr. were alive today and had to give a speech that would get thunderous applause from today's left, it would have to be a very different speech.
I have a dream that my four gender-neutral children will not live in a nation where they are judged by outdated norms like their character, but exclusively by the color of his or her Z skin. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. Fact checkers have determined this to be potentially harmful and misleading information. I have a dream that little black children and little white children will stand 6 feet apart at a pride parade to watch a man be ball gagged and bullwhipped without fear of age propriety. I have a dream that one day, even in the state of Florida, children of all colors and racial identities will cover their faces to learn critical race theory over Zoom while dissenting teachers are fired for things they said online 6 years ago and are taken out of context. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of science's children, yes, yes, when all of science's children will be able to sing with new meaning. Oh, there ain't no other way, baby. I was born this way. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. So let Sheetum ring from the tent cities of Los Angeles. Let Sheetum ring from the safe spaces of Brooklyn. Let Sheetum ring from the tech firms of Silicon Valley. Yes, all right. Let Sheetum ring from the branches of Santa Monica. But not only that, when we let Sheetum ring from every drum circle at Oberlin and from every remaining Apple store in Portland, we will be able to speed up the day when all of God's pronouns, POCs and bi POCs, Latinx persons and Chicon X, yeah, the asexual and the aromantic, allosexual and the autosexual, queers and the gender queers, the LGBTQ, the LGBTQIA, the LGBTQIA plus, the LGBTQIA plus dollar sign eggplant emoji, the Neptunic and the Trixic, the sometimes questioning and the two-spirited, yes. We'll be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old spiritual, stay home, yes, stay safe. Thanks, science almighty, stay home, stay safe. Spirit fingers, please.
I don't know which one I like more.
Powerful. Oh. Wow.
Impact. Impact.
Spirit fingers.
Too soon? Comment below. Comment below if that's too soon.
No.
And if you're watching on YouTube right now, if you want to see more of that, smash the like button right now. Right now. This is like we take an informal poll. If we don't have, let's say, 5,000 people who smash the like button before we go to Mug Club, we will never do another MLK sketch.
Never.
Hey, ever. The rubber tip spear of comedy. That is so important.
I love it.
Spirit.
I don't wear them. There's no faster way to ruin an orgy than a rubber.
It makes you feel weird.
Only the losers wear condoms, baby.
Can we go to the name of the person who the British man who went to Colleyville and went to a place that happened to have Jewish people.
What's the name of this
the
man?
The British man. Malik Faisal Akram.
Faisal Akram.
The guy who played Freddie Mercury.
Not that guy. He was Pakistani.
Very traditional.
That's a British man. What are you talking about? Totally from Manchester. Probably a United fan.
Or as his friends call him, Rusty.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And the theme for all, while we're talking about this, again, what would be ideal when that man took hostage right in the synagogue? What do I blown away?
For the rabbi to pull out a gun.
Yes. For the rabbi to go death wish on him.
Yeah.
That's what I believe.
Sorry, not sorry.
Now, I don't believe that the rabbi should go out and hunt people. Of course not. But if you show up in a congregation, God, how do we know it's not going to be another Sutherland Springs, which the media never talks about? Over 20 people were killed. The guy who took him out was Stephen Williford. We had him on this show first. I don't think I've ever been more uncomfortable because I think you should take some time. He was a Mug Club member. It was cathartic for him.
Yeah.
And the media doesn't talk about the fact that this guy went in, shot up a church, and was going to, he was driving to another church. This man, an NRA certified instructor, Stephen Williford, shot him dead. To me, I'm going, that's a hero. We throw the term around, not someone who's a nurse in a hospital that has 6 COVID patients, a man who shoots a mass killer.
Have you seen the TikToks, though?
I have seen the TikToks.
They do dance pretty, I mean,
you know, pretty effective.
Yeah.
But the idea here is, again, with Stephen Williford, what we're talking about, it's bridled power.
Yeah.
I want those Jews in synagogue to be able to protect themselves. Yeah. I want them to be capable of such protection of their most vulnerable, such violence in protection of people who are being taken hostage, that they never have to use it.
Yeah.
Bridled, this is something that people don't understand. We consider strength to be toxic masculinity. We equate it with bullying. No. What is the antithesis of bullying? It's not being a victim. It's being able to be a bully and choosing not to. Everyone out there should be able to be a horrible bully, and you choose not to. Otherwise, the bully runs the schoolyard. The bully runs Australia. The bully runs Canada. Do you understand how important? And actually, you just went through this. We just, a recent experience with talking about Joe Louis before we go to Mug Club. We're going to play a game that I can't even say on YouTube.
No. No.
You were walking Joe Louis the other day, Pops Crowder. And tell the story for people who don't know this. It's a perfect example of bridled power.
Yeah. Well, first of all, contextually, this guy is in complete control all the time, and he has to be. We live by his grace. I mean, if he flips a switch, we're all in trouble.
This is every single one of us in the studio.
Like every now and then,
pure power and speed.
When he decides he wants to get on the couch when he's not allowed, and you try and pull him off, and he does that little deke, you're like, oh, if he just wanted to bite me, there's nothing I could do.
Yeah, better to just let him finish.
Yes.
So I'm walking the guy, and of course he heals perfectly, right on your left side, and totally in control, always looking to you for direction. And out of an open door, shoots a German Shepherd. Full speed, not coming
full
to...
Full-size adult German Shepherd, off-leash.
Off-leash.
Open door.
Right. And not coming to sniff and do that, you know, get acquainted thing, coming in to fight. And so you'd always told me, get between Joe Louis and any danger.
Yeah, Carolyn, the dog trainer who's been on this show, is amazing. Yeah. She always said, you need to be an advocate for your dog.
Yes.
So that your dog doesn't react, but your dog looks to you. And so... as that is pretty impressive that Pops Crowder got between Joe Louis and a snarling German Shepherd.
Yeah, well, two scary dogs.
I knew I was packing, so I was safe. No, so I got out in front and I screamed no and tried to get, and this dog went right around me like an awful linebacker and straight to him.
And by the way, bit him. I had to take him to the vet and squeeze out
some puncture wounds.
Joe Louis got bit pretty good. So then what happened? This dog, you couldn't keep him off anymore.
No, it wasn't possible.
You were yelling to the owners. I remember you saying, like, get your dog, get your dog. They didn't speak English, I don't think.
Well, they may have, but they were immigrants who didn't know about the leash law and just let their dog shoot right out of the house and couldn't control it. Once it starts, you can't get in the middle of that fray. And in a nanosecond.
Well, you finally dropped the leash once the dog.
Yeah.
Dog bit him.
Yeah, once the dog came in hot, I dropped the leash. Because at that point, I can't hold him back and hinder his ability to protect me or himself.
Yeah.
And in less than a half a second, this dog was on its back, pinned and yelping. And he had it at the throat, but he didn't bite it. He didn't collapse it. He just pinned it and held it.
Yeah.
And this thing took off running. He followed it up on the lawn, and so there was a time there where they were separated. And he just looked at this thing, and it looked back at him. And he went in a second time.
At that point, to make sure that it
double tap.
And just pinned him again. Didn't?
Yeah.
You know, he could have removed this thing.
Keep in mind, they have a bite pressure, doggos, of like 500 PSI.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable, but they actually are bred to pin like boar and cougar.
Right. To hold for the hunter.
Yeah.
That's their. They don't go to consume something. They go to hold it for the hunter. And... that was it. It wasn't even close.
He rammed the dog, and as the dog was tumbling, grabbed its neck and pinned it, and then you pulled him. As soon as you pulled the leash, he came right back.
Yeah, well, as soon as I yelled, and when the leash had to skirt through so I could grab it.
Yeah.
And when it did, I popped the leash and said no, and he kind of came to his senses, came to me and sat.
Yeah. But here's what I remember. We were sitting there talking about it. He came in, and my dad was just wired. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I remember you telling me about the smell, because both dogs, the saliva's going, you know, how scary it is. And I was sitting there going, this is a big German Shepherd, a full-size German Shepherd. Here's the issue. How many other dogs do you think that German Shepherd ragdolled until he ran into the brick wall that is Joe Louis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That dog didn't even think about it. It was so, it just, no leash, no door.
The neighborhood bully, ran out. Unencumbered, yeah. Just running roughshod over every dog that walks by, except for that one. My goodness.
And here's the thing. Violent. Joe Louis has that, you sit here, and I was sitting there going, man, if Joe Louis wasn't Joe Louis, Joe Louis is going to the vet with a whole lot more than a few puncture wounds and having to take antibiotics.
Right.
Joe Louis might not be coming back. If Joe Louis is a Shih Tzu, Joe Louis is a Beagle, guess what? Joe Louis is at the mercy of the German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty is, before this, we were always talking about it, going, do you think Joe Louis would do anything because he's so mellow? Now we know.
Yeah.
He never has to.
He may have been protecting me, too, because I got in the middle. You know, I got...
Could have been.
I'm very
all
thankful.
Instinct, yeah.
But sure. That's that bridle
switch on
power.
Defense. Yeah.
And well, that dog rules the neighborhood until someone says, nah, this won't work. Sorry.
Well, and you need people to behave like that as well, right? Yes. You talked about having those lines in, and we were joking around saying, like, you know, what was Joe Louis's pimp walk coming back? Like, I took care of that. He's probably like, there wasn't one. He was probably like, Joe Louis was in a life and death moment.
Yeah.
And he was confident in himself and his abilities, but probably wasn't feeling like I'm the best thing ever, right?
No,
and that's exactly how I feel like these Second Amendment, like people that stops, you know, a church shooter, a school shooter, or somebody in the community with a, you know, active shooter situation. They probably aren't like, I'm the greatest. They're like, I had to step up in a moment. I could have lost my life. Thank God I was trained, and thank God I did what I did. But now I've got to live with that.
Yeah,
and that's not easy.
Well, no, he didn't feel like a victor. He that was traumatic for him.
Yeah, I remember.
As we were walking back, he was looking over his shoulder. Am I going to have to go again? And just, you know, I think they just see.
And actually,
tell
him about what you were walking about three blocks later that you ran into an old English guy.
Yeah, and they said, "Oh, what a beautiful dog, well under control. Look at that guy." And I said, "Yeah, well, he was just got in a fight up the road here with a dog who wasn't on a leash who ran out of the house." That's what we heard. That was horrible.
Three blocks down.
That's a horrible sound.
It's horrible. We won't sleep for nights.
Tell my British friend Malik.
It's almost like... Hey, Malik, you never believe what I just saw. And here's my point. We're giving all references available at loudoutcredit.com. We're going to go just smash the like button. If, by the way, hit the rumble button, if you're on, leave a comment below, especially if you want to give some moral support to Joe Louis. When we're talking about half of Democrats, and you know what's more than that, of the Democrat Party, who want to put you into quarantine camps if you're unvaccinated, who want to take your children away, who want you to be imprisoned, not just for not being vaccinated, but for speaking out against what might be the efficacy, which I'm not doing now, but the CDC has. When you're in a country where people want that for you, to imprison you, to take away your rights, what I'm saying is this. They're that German Shepherd out of control, running out, running roughshod. And I don't want you to be that German Shepherd. I absolutely don't. But guess what? I don't want you to be a Maltese that German Shepherd ragdolls. I want everyone, if you're watching this show, if you're listening, I want to make very, very clear my worldview to you, because we are entering a time where I think this is more important than ever. Don't be a bully. Don't be that German Shepherd. But don't be a victim. Be a Joe Louis. We're going to go play a game we could never play on YouTube.
Ooh.
YouTube.
Ooh.
You can piss off.